Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Soup Podcast. I am Beau Oliver, joined today by Aaron, and it's just us, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. I feel like I kind of hit that there. And we are back to talk about the world of movies, TV, video games, a lot of stories, actually. We have a lot of news. I like this new release date because we catch up on the news. Sometimes.
Well, it's like...
I think somebody broke into my house, but continue. Okay. I won't stop for the pod. Come on.
I think the first week it worked out well, but I feel like all the news we're talking about came out like on Tuesday and Wednesday, like right after.
Yeah.
Right after we recorded, so.
It's always Tenet. We just can't keep up with Tenet, dude. We're like John David Washington in the trailer trying to just reverse time and see when the news is going to come out, but we can never do it. But yeah, no, you can listen to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify. I just want to let you guys know. Google Podcasts as well. And of course, our Buzzsprout link. Download this podcast and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at NerdSoup4U. Nerd Soup on Twitter, Nerd Soup Monkey, Teddy Nerd Soup, Bo Soup, that's me, Purple Girl NS, and Anthony JQ Nash. Last but not least, and of course, send us your fan questions at Nerd Soup for you. We love to answer those, and we'll get to a lot of those today, but we're talking Emmys. That's our first major story, Emmy nominations. So I have to click the link, which is going to take me out of my PDF reader and bring me to this website. But yeah, we've got a lot of good shows here that are being recognized. I don't like this because then I have to go back and forth, but it's a good article.
Yeah, well, I mean, people got nominated, shows got nominated, and that's the Emmys for you. Happens every year.
Can we move on? I would love that.
No, I was surprised, though, The Mandalorian getting the Best Drama nomination. That was pretty surprising for me because we both loved it, but when I saw that show, I never thought to myself, yes, this is going to be up there for the Emmys. I'm happy to see it, though.
This is 2020 beginning to correct itself. Because a show like Mandalorian in previous years wouldn't have been recognized.
Well, it seems like they extended the pool. It was like more of shows than usual. And, you know, that's something the Emmys, I think, have always done well. When you think of the Oscars, unless your movie is like The Joker and it's a dark, grittier tone, superhero movies, Star Wars movies are not going to usually get nominated in the modern Oscars. But the Emmys, they right away with Game of Thrones, they were on top of that, a fantasy type show, and now with The Mandalorian, they're not afraid. Stranger Things, they're not biased against any genre. They're like, oh, you're a great show, you have a chance, you're in contention, unless you're from a show from Germany, like Dark, where they're like, no, they should have a foreign category.
Well, would they qualify for this year's Emmys? Did they make the cutoff?
I'm not sure. That's another good question. But they haven't gotten nominated in the past, so I don't know if they'll change that up now, but.
Yeah, just looking through all these shows, it's very stacked in the best drama category. Of course, Better Call Saul would be my favorite, but that would be cool if Mandalorian found a way to win it. And the comedies. Comedies have really gone up in quality. I haven't seen any of these, really, or many of them, but just from knowing what they're about, I could tell that this is, it's not really your run-of-the-mill comedies here. It's more dramedy. Because I've seen the first couple of seasons of The Good Place. I haven't seen the latest season, but...
Yeah, it's kind of went to, I guess, from your typical, I don't know, your Modern Families, How I Met Your Mother type shows, and we've seen comedies kind of adapt and become more drama-like. Like Mrs. Maisel, I think shows like Fleabag have done a great job of mixing a clever, funny plot with a clever narrative and have some dramatical elements to them. So we've seen it, like, I guess... For the past, like, 10 years, kind of the dramatic television starting to adapt and become more cinematic. And I think we're getting something similar with comedic shows, where it's not your run-of-the-mill network television sitcom.
I really don't watch TV. I'm just looking at all these shows.
It is weird.
They need the anime Emmys.
Because I do watch a lot of TV, but it's either stuff from a couple of years ago, from the past, or the modern stuff I watch isn't, I guess, Emmy-nominated things. But we also saw Watchmen, and they had a great showing and nominations too, and I think it's all well very much deserved. I think they're gonna have a big night. Ozark, a lot of nominations. Stranger Things season 3, The Crown, I haven't seen since season 1, but it's like an Emmy show. I see The Crown, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's always strange to me when limited series, I would always love to see these shows go up against the other dramas, because I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, limited series too in the past we've seen just be probably the best form of television.
Yeah.
Because
seriously.
It's basically an extended movie, obviously last year with Chernobyl, but things like Sharp Objects, and this year with Watchmen. I don't know, it's like that happy medium between, I guess, a kind of maybe drawn-out show and a underdeveloped film. It's that happy medium where you can just tell really good stories in that 10-hour, 8-hour window. And they're also able to get top-level actors. And Cate Blanchett was in the limited series Mrs. America, and you have people like Regina King and Watchmen. So I think when you're able, and obviously last year, Jared Harris, Amy Adams, and all Mahershala Ali and True Detective, where you can get top-level talent to not have to commit 6 years of their lives to one project. It's like, come in, film this for this 1 year, and then you're free to do whatever you want.
Yeah, and you're seeing all the names across the board here for the acting nominations. Cate Blanchett, Regina King, Octavia Spencer, Jeremy Irons.
Yo, it's been like that for the past few years. The Emmys are getting that star power, and it really all started with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, it really did. They were the ones. McConaughey was such a film star, and he came down to television, and
Olivia
he opened
Coleman.
The floodgates.
Just won an Oscar. Jennifer Aniston, A-list. Sterling K. Brown, fantastic.
Mahershala Ali for Rami. Have you seen Rami? I hear Rami's excellent. I've seen clips of it. It's a comedy on Hulu. But they scored a lot of nominations across the board. And he's got a small role in that.
Steve Carell.
Yeah. Alan Arkin.
Ted Danson.
I love me some Ted Danson.
Curb getting nominated, too. I like that.
Yeah,
like
Stranger Things as well. Stranger Things was what? July, right? Last July.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so that cutoff date, it's usually May. I think it's the first week in May that you have to have your show out. Because remember when Game of Thrones didn't qualify with their season 7?
Yeah.
And it carried over? Or I forget which season it was. Yeah, I think it was 7.
Huge. I mean, look at these, like we're talking about limited series, some of these nominations. Like
Billy Crudup?
Yeah. Like you said, Jeremy Irons, Hugh Jackman, Mark
Hugh
Ruffalo.
What was he nominated for?
Octavia Spencer, Kerry Washington, Regina King. Like, these are Oscar level actors.
Hugh Jackson was nominated
celebrities.
For Hard Knocks. Favorite Hard Knocks was with Rex Ryan when he was just cursing everybody out.
Let's get a
time.
Goddamn snack.
Let's go get a goddamn snack.
I was thinking about that Jets team the other day. That was the best time of my life, man.
Bart Scott.
Can't wait, baby. I still that remember is... that. Fucking Braylon Edwards doing backflips. Antonio Holmes doing the Jet kind of dance thing. Fucking Bart Scott yelling at Sal Palantonio, talking about getting disrespected while the Patriots defense couldn't stop the nosebleed. God.
Can't wait. Television movie. Couple good nominations here. El Camino, of course, with Breaking Bad. So let's see if they can. They've collected so many Emmys as a television show. Let's see if they can grab one as a movie.
I'm surprised Aaron Paul didn't get any nominations. Even for Westworld, too. Maybe a guest actor or supporting. I mean, he was great.
Was Westworld shut out?
They got supporting nods.
For Vincent Castle? I hope.
I'm not sure, actually. Maybe guest actor. They never give you, like, the whole... All these websites, they give you, like...
Yeah, I need to start listening to a movie podcast. So I...
See what they talk about. I'm like, ooh, that's a good idea.
Giancarlo Esposito for Better Call Saul as well.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul continues to be...
I hope he wins. I think he got a nomination for Mandalorian, too. Guest actor.
Wow, look at that.
So...
That final episode was fantastic.
They gotta give him one to be like, hey, sorry about, like, Breaking Bad.
Yeah. And since the show is better, so... I'm not going to start that debate, but Better Call Saul is a show that's creeping up into the upper echelon. I think it's in the same class as The Wire, Sopranos, Breaking Bad, of course. Game of... what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, Jeffrey Wright here for Westworld. Found you.
Yeah.
Wow. That seems like... Who's the best actor in the cast? None of them were particularly great, but... Jeffrey
Jeffrey Wright in that scene when he's talking to Arnold's wife is probably some of the best acting I've seen this year so far. So I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I think the Emmys out of all the award shows is my favorite because I think they get it the most right. It's impossible with film. Obviously, it's all subjective.
Well, TV, too, is so vast. And there's so many great performances year in and year out. And look at, like, Big Little Lies. Like, it's impossible to pick and choose. Like, we can't have everybody, so... I don't know, Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman. Oh, no, Laura Dern got nominated. But Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon, easily, they all could have got nominated. But it's like, you're leaving out so many because there's just so many good casts and performances on television.
I'm trying to think of a great transition for this next topic, but...
Oh, well, let me try.
Okay.
Better Call Saul, AMC. AMC Theaters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
That was off the top of your head?
Just thought of
it. Let me see your notes. Yeah, AMC has made a deal with Universal Studios that apparently Universal movies will be available on demand after 17 days. But where? Where will we be able to find these movies?
Video on demand, kind of like how you would get The King of Staten Island and shit like that. That's been coming out.
So it's just going to be on all YouTube,
like Amazon.
Google. Yeah, okay.
I guess.
Available for purchase, of course. Right. Will this be a trend? I think it will. And there are a lot of details here that I guess we don't know. How much is the movie going to cost? We've seen $20, but maybe after that theater window, it's not going to be $20, because you make that money with your 2 to 3 weeks in theaters, and then you lower the price, try and make even more. Possibly people are still going to theaters. I mean, after a month is usually when people stop going to watch a movie, unless they're one of the bigger ones. But
my first
this is bad for theaters.
That's my first reaction, but maybe it's just a happy medium where this is the best case now, where at least we're getting this. But what's to say in 2 years it's a week after, and then just keeps going and going and going until the only thing you're getting in theaters are big blockbusters? Because, I mean, I don't know if this is going to be like for Jurassic Park and their Fast franchise, because I think that would still make, you know, when you're talking about a potential $2 billion movies, wouldn't that make sense to keep it longer than the 17 days? I don't know if this is strictly for their smaller films, but I don't know. We always talked about it, like the theater industry is in trouble, and I guess this is something, but it's better than the alternative than just them not putting any movies in.
Well, people always say this about baseball. Baseball is a dying sport because it's not as popular as it once was. Well, it's still very popular. It's still generating billions of dollars. And theaters have seen a steady decline of attendance, but that doesn't necessarily mean that theaters are going to be dead. And I think we are still a long ways off where we don't see any dramas or any indie or smaller films coming out in theaters, only going to be available on demand. But, you know, obviously the pandemic has kind of just fundamentally changed the way that the world operates, and maybe has sped up this inevitable future of video on demand for movies.
My whole thing is, though, the same people are not going to watch the movies that they haven't historically watched in theaters just because it's available on streaming for whatever price it is.
I think they might, though.
I don't think so.
I think with television, you've seen that people are able, they're more willing to commit to these types of stories when it is TV.
But when it's free on their Netflix, not to purchase for $25 for a 24-hour rental for some indie movie you've never heard of.
You may see more of it, though. If Netflix or these other companies, here's the option to rent this critically acclaimed drama that's still out in theaters, but you can rent it right now when you're home, that may get maybe 25% more people, or maybe 15 or 20%. Maybe it's not a huge number, but I don't know. But at the end of the day, certain movies that are smaller, like a Get Out, you're never going to make your $300 million if Get Out comes out on demand, but that potentially could happen if you have a wide release throughout the world. A movie that was made for $4 million can generate $300 million.
I guess it's a good thing, too. Like, anything from...
But that's
like,
rare.
We always talk about the Oscars, right? How the viewership is down and things like that, and it's really not the, I guess, appointment television that it was historically in the past. And a large part of that is people just aren't seeing the movies, right?
Right.
So I guess if these movies are more accessible, more people will see these type of films and these performances and be more invested. But just thinking about it just from the theater in general, another thing too, I think a lot of what they're basing this on is, I don't know if it's a great model to base your future on when you're thinking of what your Trolls movie did during a pandemic, because obviously those numbers are going to be great because there's nothing to do when your children are home, probably driving you fucking crazy. So yeah, you're going to spend $20 on Trolls. Are you going to do that the same thing when things are back to normal and you don't have to, and you can just throw on whatever fucking kid shows on Netflix? They won't know the difference. So I think they're basing it off of, hey, look, we're putting it straight to streaming. Look how much money we're making here. But when things are back to normal, I don't know if they can replicate that.
Yeah, I think, well, we see Netflix, the way that they're throwing money at projects, and they're leaning more towards blockbusters, and I've always said they're trying to kill the movie theater business. That's what they want. Their model, it benefits when studios make the decision to release movies on demand rather than the theater, because at the end of the day, you're taking away people out of the theater. So Netflix, it doesn't matter if it's another studio or another company making money on that video on demand release. That's just good for their business model. More people staying home, that's more people possibly clicking on your Netflix app. So that's their direct competition, and as a company, their objective is to build and destroy, right? And I love going to a movie theater, but if this is the future, I don't know how you stop it. I think we are a ways off. But what's interesting is we had one of our listeners message the Twitter account and ask a question for the podcast. What do you think is going to happen with actors who aren't going to get that exposure of a wide release in theaters? Do you think there's going to be a sort of stipulation that they'll add to their contract saying, hey, because I'm not going to be able to build my personal brand with this exposure, I need to be paid more? Is there going to be a dispute between streaming services and creators? Because at right now, it looks like they get paid equally or even more in some cases. I mean, Martin Scorsese, I'm sure, was paid handsomely for The Irishman. That budget was massive. Some of that's going to him. Some of that's going to the legendary director Martin Scorsese. But does that stop once you take away the theater option?
I think for bigger projects, bigger budget projects, I think the theater will still be there for them. And they will do a regular release because the money's going to be made there. I don't know the ins and outs of what it costs distribution versus what you would make on streaming, or if like 10,000 people stream your movie for $20 versus 10,000 people going into the theater to see it. But with a movie like a Jurassic World or a Fast and Furious, a Marvel movie, I think they would all be benefited from a longer stay in the box office.
From the actor's perspective, do you think this is going to hurt them, hurt their fame, hurt their power as creatives?
No, because like I said, like the big budget movies are the ones that builds that fame for them. I think when you see these great actors do...
Well, look at Chalamet. Chalamet's built his fame off of smaller movies.
Well, Stan Twitter, really.
But maybe he doesn't get Stan Twitter if those movies aren't coming out in theaters.
No, because I still think the audience is relatively still going to be there, and they're going to be the same numbers from... Because they're not... None of these movies, when you do that little passion project that you might get the Academy Award nomination for, it still makes, like, what, $50,000 at the box office? $50,000 would be terrible. $50 million at the box office, around there. I think that exposure will translate pretty much the same to streaming.
Well, but I think one way that you can try and save theaters, because this is John Campion's point, he's made this point for the longest time, is cut the salary of your actors, because I think actors are being overpaid, and that drives up prices of your tickets. That's part of the budget. When you see the budget, part of that is actor's salary. Does Robert Downey Jr. deserve $75 million for Avengers? I don't know. Does Will Smith deserve $20 million for every movie he makes? I don't think so. Just economically, I don't think so, when you look at his box office receipts. So, I don't know. Theaters are going to have to, they're going to have to make some decisions. They're going to have to drive down prices, and they're going to have to get people to come if they want to stop the inevitable rise of streaming. Not even rise. I mean, it's here, the monsoon that's about to take you over.
Yeah.
Build a fucking dam, you know?
I don't know. We'll see. I think we'll see more studios start to do their own thing and kind of do something similar and make similar deals, but 17 days is not a lot. What is that, 3 weekends in the box office?
Yeah, I mean, you see with even big movies, their fourth weekend, if they make $10 million, that's a good weekend. So by that fourth weekend, you're not making the largest chunk of your box office anyway. So I think 17 is kind of a happy medium.
What's your Avatar?
Yeah, Avatar is like 90 days after release. What was it, E.T.? Didn't E.T. not come out on video for like 10 years? Yeah, it didn't come
out
until...
Wasn't alive.
All right, let's move on to the next topic here. We have Tenet's new release schedule. I don't know if you'll be alive for this movie either, because they're just going to keep pushing it back. But we have an official date. It's very strange, right? It's set to release internationally on August 26th. So throughout the rest of the world, because the rest of the world, their countries are ran by adults, and they're handling this pandemic much better than we are, they'll be able to go and see Tenet. We have to wait. Apparently, it'll be released in the U.S. over Labor Day weekend in select cities. That's not happening.
No, it's not.
This August 26th date, I don't know either, because in other countries, sometimes it feels like they have a wrap on it, but then you get reports from Germany that new cases are spiking.
Yeah, this movie's not coming out this year.
Why are they so stubborn on releasing it this year? It has such name recognition surrounding it. You could drop this easily next summer. You're not going to hurt your box office one bit.
It could be like a Warner Brothers executive type deal where it's like, we need to release
maybe
Justice League. Yeah.
That could be, yeah, it could be one of those things, which is so unfortunate.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll release in some countries, and then people here will have to be forced to get the stream off of, like, not the dark web, but like the freemovies.com type deal, which is a shame.
Will happen.
This is a movie that I would like to see IMAX in the theaters, or just a stream at this point, pay fucking whatever amount it costs to watch it at home. But yeah, maybe. Are there any cities right now that have theaters open? What does that mean, select cities?
I have no idea. In the U.S., I'm not sure. I really don't know. It all comes down to New York and Vegas. I mean, L.A. And we're not open, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Were they going to open in fucking Connecticut?
Yeah. I mean, I love Connecticut. Been there.
Would you drive to Connecticut? If it's like, I don't know,
Would I drive to? Yes, I would do that. Yeah. I wouldn't pay the $50 to $100 to stream it.
Come to Scranton, Pennsylvania, to see.
Yeah, I'd do that. That's fun. It's like an adventure, you know.
We'll see where they shot. I don't think they shot at the office there, but whatever.
I'm determined one day to go to New Zealand. New Zealand has the biggest IMAX in the world, so I want to go for a weekend. Like, get there Friday morning and then leave after the movie. You know, just went to the movies tonight. Even though it's a long ass fucking flight. It's like 15 hours, so.
You got an in-flight movie, too.
Yeah, get the in-flight, yeah.
Maybe a meal.
That's like six movies. Good weekend.
I think I would drive like 2.5 hours to see it. If it was like a safe like area with, in terms of like Corona and like they had regulations in the theater, I think I might, I'll think about it at least. If it's like 2.5 hours, do a road trip, get all the boys together.
Me and you. Because Teddy and Nash aren't going. No way. This guy Teddy, you have to drive 45 minutes to the movies. He's
ooh,
like, oh.
I got great idea. Nerd suit party bus. Ah, no. It's a pandemic. I was going to say, we should pick around. If anyone that's listening is on the way, let's pick them up.
20 individual party buses for 20 guests in a theater that sits 100. We're all spaced out. That would actually be fun. Yeah. But yeah, this movie's not coming out. You know what's a movie that's definitely going to come out eventually? Night Bitch, but with Amy Adams. So the premise to this new Amy Adams movie that's coming out, it's about a woman who, she's an unnamed woman and a former artist, and she's thrust into a stay-at-home domesticity after the birth of her son, who becomes increasingly worried and convinced that she may be turning into a dog. I like this.
We've all been there before.
This is one of those where it's very weird, obviously. It's bizarre. You can't hide that. But, you know, it's got like a metamorphosis vibe to it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a dark comedy, so it's interesting. It's
exposing the absurd and feral truths of motherhood. That, see, you can almost do, what was the movie that came out with Charlize Theron about motherhood?
Atomic Blonde.
Yes, right, exactly. No, and then her former self comes and kicks her ass.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, it's Juno, too. Sully. No, not Sully.
The lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck, look that up. You could do that, but in a more absurd, obviously,
I like that movie.
Absurd and surrealist way. And I like this. It's Amy Adams is an incredible performer, so I think she's truly going to embrace the source material here and just go for it.
Tully,
yeah, because she always does. And I'm sure that the movie's going to have great moments of comedy, because with this premise, of course, it's going to be bizarre to watch and just going to be naturally funny. But there's probably going to be true moments of darkness. Motherhood, it takes a toll on individuals, and some people are more equipped to handle it than others. But at the end of the day, it's hard for everyone. So kind of shedding a light on that in this way sounds enjoyable to me.
I think it's raising the bar a little for like trying to get an Oscar. It's like, you know, it started with people playing different historical figures. Like, I'll play a different person. It's like, oh, it's like, no, I'll play two different people. Yeah. I'll play two different species.
See, this is, I don't think this is Oscar gold. I think this is almost like a parody of someone who's trying to get an Oscar. A role that's so ridiculous, I have to be recognized, right?
Yeah.
Is it based on anything? Is it a book?
Probably.
I hope it's... I'd be more impressed if it was just original. If there's just some wacky-ass director out there that...
I feel like it's like a good, like, Yorgos Lanthimos type film.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be...
Does it have a director?
I'm not too sure. I just saw the headline. It reminded me of the New York Post article. It said, woman thinks she's a chicken. There's just a picture of a chicken. And someone's like, well, judging by the picture.
I think she may be onto something.
Yeah.
She might be a chicken.
What's that? The movie's supposed to come out this year, Woman in a Window. That never came out.
Right. No, it didn't.
That's a movie that should go on just on streaming.
Yeah, Woman on the Window sounds like a movie that my mom will say, hey, have you seen this Woman in the Window? And I'm like, oh, no, let's watch it together.
Yeah.
You have a nice bonding moment with your mom, with the Woman in the Window. Yeah, no, that did not come out. That's actually a spinoff of The Lady in the Water, and they replaced Bryce Dallas Howard with Amy Adams, blonde hair. I mean, red hair.
Mm.
Just kidding. What were you going to say?
No, people were talking today on Twitter, like, what's the best performance that never didn't even like that should have won an Oscar but wasn't even nominated? People are saying Arrival for Amy Adams.
Zach Galifianakis, The Hangover. I think so. Really? Why not? That performance made a career.
Yeah, it did.
It was legendary, man.
I was thinking like Leo and Django. He was nominated. Probably could have won.
Galifianakis in Due Date, probably not.
The Fall of Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Stop going Galifianakis.
He was good in Birdman.
That was a weird era, right? The Galifianakis era.
Yeah, no, they pushed him as the next comedy guy. I guess he's still famous, right?
Yeah, he had the Between Two Ferns thing. Between Two Firms. Think of just like a little office between two big law firms. And no one's going to the little office because they're between two firms.
Yeah, but they're gritty. You know, they have fun. Bob Odenkirk is the boss, right?
That's like when the two big firms, they don't want to take your case, and your only hope is to go to the little firm.
Yeah, they get all the wacky criminal characters, you know? You can have some fun performances there, some funny performances. Bill Hader is definitely a lawyer that works there. You know what I'm really excited for? The Boys, season two.
Yeah,
I don't know why, it just popped into my head.
It's coming up.
Because I imagine Anthony Starr playing like a douchebag lawyer at one of the bigger firms. He's a fantastic actor. But this Amy Adams, Night Bitch, that's a great title as well. It's going to get people talking.
I like that. A little edginess. Put a little curse word in your title. What else is there?
Oh, there's fan questions, but I don't know if you have any other stories.
Let me check the old Twitter. A little impromptu, what's trending? Whatever happened to that? Oh, yeah, that's right. Everything that's trending was just depressing.
Yeah, we just had to stop.
6ix9ine's trending. Oh, no, we're not doing that. Movie news, right? You want to talk about Ninja? He's trying to set course to Hollywood.
Whoa, why?
He just wants to be an actor.
What is he doing? He wants to be an actor? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Dude, did you hear about the bag that he secured after they bought him out? He moved streaming services. He moved off of Twitch to, I guess it was a Microsoft gaming streaming app thing. Mm-hmm. And he signed this huge contract, but then it doesn't exist anymore. So they bought him out for like $30 million, dude. And he barely worked. He worked maybe a couple months on this new app and went right back to Twitch, you know. Or I don't know if he's on Twitch anymore. The dude makes a lot of money.
That's so crazy. Just remember, could you imagine like little you?
Isn't Ninja like 29?
Well, I'm just saying, like when you were like 8, 9, 10 or whatever playing video games and there was like, and you knew like, oh, people are out there making money. Like, kids now are like,
right, yeah.
That's like an actual, like, yeah.
It's a job.
They're professional athletes. That's feasible.
Yeah.
All the esports going, like, obviously you have to be insanely good, and I wasn't, but.
Right, when we were little, it didn't exist to that extent.
Yeah.
There was never I remember they used to host those Madden tournaments on ESPN at times. And, you know, they obviously did the underground Super Smash tournaments and Mortal Kombat tournaments. They've had those rankings for decades, but now it's become so mainstream.
It's
there's
massive.
So much money in it. No, and that's going to keep growing, man. I mean, Twitch was such a brilliant idea. People love not only watching people play video games, they love watching people compete, you know?
What did Rogan say about video games?
Oh, yeah, such a ridiculous point. He said, you know, when you're playing a video game, you're not really doing anything. It's basically that it makes people lazy.
Yeah.
My point to that is such an elitist mindset that everyone has to be Joe Rogan or Elon Musk. Everyone has to be out there changing the world. And then some people just want to work their 9-to-5s. Some people just want to teach or run their small business, work their job, support their family, come home and relax with video games. The majority of people that I know who play games never have time to play games.
Yeah.
The two most consistent gamers I know, Andres and Manny, are always working.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the backlog of games that they haven't caught up on. So I hate when these people with platforms bring up these old, like, rap isn't music.
Yeah.
That's this, you know. Or video games cause violence. These stupid,
you know what I
nonsense debates.
You know what I really hate? You ever see like on like TikTok or Twitter or whatever, like these entrepreneurs and like they're giving
worst.
Like these like motivational speeches and
this
like,
is how I made $12,000 to $5 million.
Yeah, I fucking hate those
you just
people.
Gotta sign up to my monthly subscription of $49.99.
It's
and
like,
give
yeah,
you access to the next subscription.
It worked for you and shit. And like, nah, this is what you got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do this, then you're going to be rich and like, you know, so you got to take all, like, I don't have any friends anymore.
The
I
Steve
only
Harvey
surround
video.
My people. It's like, that's
my circle's small. My circle's always working. That Steve Harvey video. It's like if you're.
Well, that actually made sense. It's like if you sleep till 8 and. No.
I know.
Because.
But this idea that, you know, rich people don't sleep. Not everyone wants to be rich.
Well, he was saying like if you sleep till 8 a.m. in California, the stock market's been open for 3 hours in East Coast. That makes sense.
Yeah,
actually.
If you're a day trader.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like if you're a day.
Yeah, if you're a day trader, of course. But that's all they
if
do.
If I own a deli, it's like, well, deli's open early. But you know what I mean.
You're just up there, you back, own, like, punching the meat. Just looking at the clock in the East Coast, like, those fucking bastards. There are no delis in the West Coast anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm saying. They are open early, like 5 a.m.
Yeah, they're just all open here.
I love a good deli.
Yeah. Everyone, that's the thing. It's, on one hand, it's we praise capitalism, we praise the free market, and everybody working hard. And then it's like, but why are you guys enjoying video games? Why aren't you guys working harder? What do you want us to do, Joe Rogan? What do? You sit on your ass and you talk. You do what I do. We do nothing. Some of us are privileged to be the caveman drawing on the walls. The other people got to go out and hunt. And let them play their fucking video games when they're done hunting. You elitists.
I can't believe Joe Rogan has 3 times the listeners. You see that?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's another. Alyssa Milano. Like, that's another. It's just, what?
It's like, yeah. Oh, the biggest podcast in the world has 3 times?
Male Oprah? I'm a fan of Joe Rogan's podcasts. I listen all the time. And I think it's part of being a fan of Joe Rogan is being frustrated by some of the things he says.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, I think, like, what
I
do
love male Oprah.
About it, I don't really watch him too often, but I've always, liked the UFC. I was a big fan, and he always does the commentating, so I enjoyed, like, his insight on that shit, because he's very, like, insightful with fighting and styles and shit like that. So, but I always just get the sense, like, he's just talking. Like, he doesn't really, like, have any, like, maybe he does. Like I said, I don't listen, but it just seems like he's just, you know, he's talking, and he's kind of, like, going through different options and just trying to figure stuff out. And I guess that's why he's so, I guess.
Some interviews are better than others, but yeah, he's a very genuinely curious guy.
I feel like that's why he kind of like transcends. Like, I see people on the right who love him and there are people on the left that love him. Like when the whole thing, when he endorsed Bernie Sanders and people on the left are like saying no, and there are other people saying, who gives a fuck? It's like, I don't know. I feel like there's like equally people on from every sphere of the world hate him or like him.
Yeah, I think the thing that frustrates a lot of people with Joe Rogan is that he comes off as a flip-flopper sometimes. But I think that's just kind of his nature. That's, he is opening up his podcasts to a host of different minds. Like you said, you'll watch for the UFC. Some people will watch for the comedians. He's involved in so many different worlds.
It's like, yeah, Post Malone to Ben Shapiro to fucking Elon Musk. So.
Right, and that's the only time I'm going to listen to a Ben Shapiro interview. And I'll sit down and I'll agree with a thing. Say, oh, look, we agree on things.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah, right, yeah. We are Americans. Great. All right, let's move on here to fan questions. Fan question theme.
That's for the fan to decide.
Yay!
People, you call up to the show, you better be ready. That's what you're supposed to do. Sitting there arguing and trying to spell your name and all of this other stuff. It's not your show. It's my show. I'm giving you the opportunity to speak your mind. Don't call up here unless you got something to say.
This question here from Thomas Lynn. What's up, Thomas? This is actually interesting here. Any thoughts on the Red Letter Media versus William Shatner feud? Have you heard about this?
No.
No, I haven't heard anything about this.
Why?
I don't know, and that's funny because Red Letter Media, I mean, Mike is known.
He loves
kind
Star
of as
Trek,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, the internet Star Trek nerd. And the guy's just constantly pulling Star Trek quotes. I don't know, maybe they said something and William Shatner caught wind of it. I mean, talk about, you got egos all around. So, who knows what that beef is about.
Who are you taking?
I'm taking fucking Captain Kirk. What are you, nuts? This question here from Dylan Murphy. What's up,
that
Dylan?
Man once saved me $150 on a flight. Priceline negotiated the fuck out of that.
He is so goddamn good in those commercials. That is just one charismatic.
He's still in him,
man.
Or he went to Kelly Kuko for a little.
Yeah, no, they kind of phased him out.
But now who's next? Because I haven't seen her in a while. Who's negotiating for my prices?
I
don't want some new chump coming in there, like Justin Long.
I swear to God, just thinking Justin Long, yeah. I don't know.
Remember the Mac and PC commercials?
That was with Justin Long, right?
Yeah.
And who else?
I
feel like it was somebody else, right? Was he not famous?
He's not famous, but it's like, I've definitely seen him in a thing or two.
That's what I always loved about Master of None, him being the actor that's kind of bouncing around commercials and smaller roles in movies. That's a life for a lot of actors, man. That's how they make their living.
Yeah.
This question here from Dylan Murphy. What's up, Dylan? Hey, guys, longtime fan. What do you think is better, Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones? Wow. They're so different.
Yeah.
And I think rewatching Lord of the Rings has really hammered that home for me. And a lot of people, when Game of Thrones got really big, they said, oh, Lord of the Rings, it's ruined for me because it's not as complex. But they're just going for different things. It's fantasy, of course, and they've got similar elements. All fantasy does. George R. R. Martin will admit how influenced he was by Tolkien, but...
I think I'll go with Game of Thrones just for the fact that, like, I'm obsessive with it. The whole world, everything I could kind of learn about Westeros and the deeper lore and everything from the books and what the world George has created, it's like, I can do that for hours and hours on end. And I still, like, do that with Lord of the Rings, but I haven't read the books yet, and... you know, I look at some cool things on the internet, like some fun facts and like different aspects of the world Tolkien created, but I just never had that like obsession where I just needed to read the most useless information, but like try to get all of it in my mind as I can.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is the best for that. I think because it's just so damn clever. It's so unique. It's the best fictional world. Tolkien's world may be more detailed and it may be bigger and it may have more history.
It's like,
but the creativity of the world of A Song of Ice and Fire is great. But I'm starting to get the itch to get into the Lord of the Rings world.
Yeah.
Because I want to learn more about that
it's
history.
It's a little intimidating, though, I feel like.
He's a super genius. Yeah. The way that this man put this world together, and I feel like we didn't even mention that enough on the revisit, is just how great the world is.
Mm-hmm.
Every aspect, the different races and species and the way that he handles magic, it's great.
It's like with A Song of Ice and Fire, it's like, ooh, I want to learn about the Kettlebacks.
Yeah,
it's like the fucking 50th and 51st
yeah.
like character in this vast world that he built, and I'm like, I wonder if they're working for Littlefinger.
Right.
like, you know, like whose side are they on?
It's just so down to earth, that world. And I just think Essos. What's going on in Essos? It's a whole other world over there. There's so many details that we don't even get about that, but we believe that the Long Night is also coming to that continent in the books, and then the southern continent as well, that no one's explored it. It's because of the way that he integrates real-world history with the fantasy elements, and he is also a genius, but yeah. They're so different. I mean, to complain about the lack of complexity in the politics of the Lord of the Rings, it's an epic. It's a big, epic journey, and there are complex themes woven in throughout. I mean, Game of Thrones is so explicitly political. So, like I said, they're different.
Yeah.
This question here from Kyberpunk. What's up, Kyber? Only one of these directors gets to make an MCU movie. Denis Villeneuve, Ava DuVernay, Guillermo del Toro, Christopher Nolan, Greta Gerwig, Spike Lee. Which one do you pick and why? I would go Spike Lee.
What was it?
One of these directors gets to make
it. I was trying to think of a joke. Kyberpunk, Kyber Crystal, Kylo Ren. I was trying to workshop that. I couldn't think of anything.
It's based on Cyberpunk, I guess, the game.
Yeah, so what was the list?
These directors get to make an MCU movie. Which one? Denis Villeneuve, Ava DuVernay, Guillermo del Toro, Christopher Nolan, Greta Gerwig, Spike Lee.
That's interesting. Villeneuve, I mean, he's definitely dipped his toe with Dune and Blade Runner and kind of like these big epics, high-budget movies. With somebody like Ava DuVernay, she's already getting an opportunity. Is she still doing the DC? What is it?
The New Gods.
The New Gods. So she's getting an opportunity
there. I hope so. Yeah, she's doing that with Tom King as well, who's a very prominent comic book writer. So I was excited for that team up.
Del Toro would be interesting, because obviously with Hellboy, that first one.
Well, that's why I'm thinking
all
Del
of his
Toro.
Movies, like with his monsters and his creativity when it comes to that.
I mean, Blade.
Maybe like a... This is DC, but like a swamp thing type, you know, whatever that comparison to the MCU that would
right,
be.
Right.
Get into something like that, weirder but smaller, get into that world. Maybe like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a character off the top of my head.
Well, I would like to see Spike Lee, because I think with Nolan, he did Batman. Guillermo's done a couple superhero movies. Denis Villeneuve would fit right in, whatever you give him, and give him a big epic. Ava DuVernay is also working on her superhero project, hopefully. So I'm leaning towards more Greta Gerwig and Spike Lee. I would love Greta Gerwig, this is DC again, to direct a Superman movie. I think Superman needs some of that coming-of-age spirit that Greta Gerwig brings to her films.
Like a younger Superman type? Because I feel like with Superman, you're just going over his whole life again. It's the whole origin.
Yeah.
I feel like if you focus more in on like a Spider-Man type, maybe like Spider-Gwen or something like that. Like one of those young adult type characters, like we've seen in Little Woman and obviously Lady Bird, that type of coming of age role within a superhero movie. Batgirl, that could be something that's interesting.
I'd love to see college Superman. I'd love to see interning at the Daily Planet while also running around Metropolis fighting aliens.
Pledging.
Yes. Peak. Seriously, that's what Supes is. Yeah, he's such an American Boy Scout. Yeah, he's a big doofus. That's why you love him. He doesn't want to be Superman. He just wants to be Clark.
Imagine trying to haze Superman. Like, oh, get the paddle out. Keeps fucking breaking.
Yeah, he's got his dad in his memory. You know, just you just got to take the paint, son. Pretend it hurts. It's Kevin Costner always popping up. But Spike Lee, see, I mean, obviously it would have been great to see Spike Lee direct Black Panther when he got really big, because that movie was floating around all the time. I think it was supposed to be Wesley Snipes originally, right? So that would be a natural fit. But Spike Lee, that's the thing. I think he can bring some... He's a bit more controversial than these other directors. And his style of filmmaking is controversial because he's always attacking real-life issues. Yeah. He's always addressing...
Superhero would lend more to a... I guess maybe a political or social critique or something along those lines.
X-Men.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Even though I'd like to see the X-Men kind of get away from that, yeah. But I think Spike Lee let him go epic because the war scenes in The Five Bloods, and that's the thing. Spike Lee's on an upward trajectory here.
Yeah, he's kind of gotten a new life with, I guess, younger film fans with more recent films like Black Klansman and The Five Bloods. But obviously people who are a little older and have been watching him for a while have always known his capabilities as a filmmaker. But
and his films are also very funny.
He's also a character, too. It's Spike, you know.
Yeah.
Courtside of the Nick Spike Gaines, Lee joint. Sick fits.
You think he gets that, though?
What?
Do they compromise?
A Spike Lee joint?
A Spike Lee Marvel Studios joint. They gotta figure out a way to compromise with that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I really like that.
Does it?
I think can you they have would a find
joint?
A way.
Can you have a Marvel movie be a joint, though?
Yeah, because it's not a joint like a joint that you smoke. It's a joint. Like, oh, let's go to that joint.
No, I'm not saying like in terms of that.
Oh, does it count? Does it count as a Spike?
Can you still have a Spike Lee joint but still be a massive Marvel movie with obviously studio control?
So you're saying that Spike Lee's Marvel movie wouldn't be
a spliff.
Okay,
it's because they're mixing in some of their studio head.
You got Marvel tobacco in there.
Yeah.
Don't want to inhale it too much. You get lightheaded. Yeah, good question there, though. So, Cyberpunk. You thought of a joke yet?
I never got the idea of a spliff.
What is actually a spliff?
They put tobacco in it.
Okay, yeah, that is like a spliff, cigarette. Right? Yeah. Well, sometimes people just...
It's like, I feel like I don't smoke weed, but I always felt like the kind of, like the whole, like the thing that weed smokers do, it's like, oh, it's purer than tobacco, none of the bad stuff. Then you add all that in, and now you just, you know, can't be good for you.
No, definitely not. My poor lungs during this pandemic, there's nothing else to do.
Edibles? I would like to try. I took an edible once in college, and it was fucking wild. I don't think I've taken one since.
Yeah, the last time I took an edible, I curled up and started crying.
I need that. What's CBD about?
CBD?
I feel like everyone's just talking about it for so long now, and I never really got it.
You get it from marijuana, so it's not actually marijuana. And you can use it as CBD oil. You can use it if you've got achy knees. You can give it to dogs. They make, like, CBD treats. And they calm down the dog if your dog has separation anxiety. Yeah, I may need to get pepper high. Oh, this is a good question here from Mrs. Nesbitt at CR_egg. What is your favorite or most believable conspiracy theory, besides that HBO pays you guys? That is not very believable.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I'll never forget that when someone made a video on it, like, not a video about us, but did a video and, like, featured us, like, saying how we were too nice towards season 8. And the first comment's like, yeah, fuck Nerd Soup. HBO, they admitted that HBO pays them to give good reviews.
Yeah, when we said it as a joke, right?
Yeah.
So did you get your HBO Venmo? It's like, oh, no, I didn't get mine yet. No, people on the internet are so goddamn gullible. But it's funny. Yeah, that guy said, and I quote, Nerd Soup, suck my D, and then a bunch of other mean things. But hey, you know, I
hope he's doing well. Come on the pod.
Come on the pod, guy that I don't remember.
We'll give you some of that HBO money.
This question here from...
What's your favorite conspiracy?
Oh, my God. Yeah, we didn't even answer the goddamn question. I would say I think the one that's most believable, people always go 9/11. Never really convinced me. Moon landing, not so much. JFK, I think. JFK, there are enough pieces there where I think, okay, this man was taken out by the mafia. And he made so many goddamn enemies, and then his brother was assassinated as well. There's no coincidence there. But that's an interesting conspiracy theory. I'm trying to think, what's another convincing one?
Just like aliens in general. Everything like they say in Ancient Aliens, I'm like, yeah, probably.
Well, now it's like
you the see pyramids the, and all that kind of crazy stuff.
The Pentagon came out and released all this information on UFOs.
I hope we get aliens in our lifetime. I hope they're like the cool aliens. Like, here's the, you know, here's the key to linear circular time, like an Arrival type deal.
Yeah, right.
We'll just send Amy Adams. I think she had to have done some research on the role. Yeah, basically, I played a linguist.
When that UFO report came out, it is freaky.
No one cares.
No one cares anymore.
It wasn't trending. Oh, yeah. It wasn't like, oh, we're not alone.
Well, I think we're so numb to the fact that intelligent life exists out there because of movies and our obsession with sci-fi. Unless an alien comes here and rolls out the red carpet like Mars Attack, then it's not going to be mind-blowing.
There should be a pool where everyone, like, whichever, you pick a movie and throw in $100, and whichever the actual aliens resemble the most, you got the money. So I wonder, like, who nailed it?
I think the big-headed aliens, because they say humanity, as we evolve, our heads are going to get bigger, and we're going to lose our hair.
Oh.
So that sounds alien-esque.
So, like, a bunch of cone heads.
I don't know if they're going to go to cones. You're going to be like a bunch of thumbs, those thumbs from Spy Kids. Freaky design.
Yeah, that's what were they doing?
This question here from Anthony Marino. What's up, Anthony? Best actor to never win an Oscar: John Goodman, Will Smith, Edward Norton.
Edward Norton.
John Goodman.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. John Goodman was in The Artist.
Yes, he was, yes. He is
that's
very
not the role,
good
I mean,
in
but,
10 Cloverfield Lane, I think, is my favorite role of his. And, of course, The Big Lebowski.
What would be the Edward Norton role, I guess?
Incredible Hulk.
Very good in Birdman. Incredible Hulk. American History X. Let's see, what else was he in? Fight Club, obviously.
Right.
He's a tremendous actor.
Motherless Brooklyn.
Did that ever come out?
Yes, it did. Yeah, it came out last year.
You know what came out that I didn't know came out?
All those boys in there.
I was thinking about the other day. I just forgot about it. I don't know. Will Smith. Well, I guess Pursuit of
Edward
Happiness.
Oh, also in all one. The Wes Anderson movies.
Yeah, true. Pursuit of Happiness. That was probably his best role, right?
Will Smith is an incredibly charismatic actor. His problem is that he just picks shitty movies. Yeah, he never gets the chance to shine. He is very good in Suicide Squad.
I still remember those 2 minutes when we thought
Will Smith was back.
Yeah.
What was that movie called? That dumbass movie? Clone Assassin?
You turned a person into another person.
You turned
and sent
person
that person
into another
to kill another person.
Person. It's Metal Gear Solid, but just not good. Yeah, it's unfortunate with him because, what, he's close to his mid-50s right now, right? So he's got time as a leading man. He's still got some time to maybe put some better roles under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, he's an incredible talent. I mean, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air right there, you could see it. He's such a great comedic actor transitioning from being a rapper to a performer, and it's seamless. Very underrated sitcom, I think. Obviously, for our generation, we all love it, but I think overall it's one of the funnier ones.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, you look at the roles that he's passed up, it's always you look at the director. Look at an actor's filmography, you just look at the directors and you can tell if it's good or not. He's passed up Nolan, he's passed up The Matrix, the Wachowskis, he passed up Tarantino, so he passed up Superman Returns.
He'll definitely get one within the next 10 years. That's going to be my prediction.
He needs to be like the star of the next Safdie Brothers movie. I want a Safdie Brothers
He's
movie.
He's like an A24 type.
I'll pitch it right now. I'm so great at pitching hypotheticals.
That shit crazy. Or like a supporting role where, like, maybe in 10, 20 years where he's like in that Sylvester Stallone type.
Right, yeah.
Kind of role where it's like, yeah, even though
he they should have
it.
Done that for Independence Day.
Oh,
even though that
God,
movie was an
what
abomination.
A fucking.
That's a top 20, top 15 worst movie ever. What was I going to say about Will Smith? Safdie Brothers Obama movie with Will Smith. They do like the Oliver Stone type version, you know? It's fast paced, but it's 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like what's like the...
Who's playing Biden?
No. Like what's the situation that would lend to that kind of crazy
becoming
atmosphere?
President.
What, the journey there or why?
Yeah, it's a journey. Yeah. Maybe a little.
Because I want
it
just to be like a little, like an insight into a certain part. Not like a whole life type deal.
I think a Safdie's brother, you get Will Smith to play like an AAU coach. You do Safdie's take on the world of AAU because that's fast paced, a lot of personalities. It's huge in New York. I think that'd be an interesting movie. And they love sports. I just got Will Smith a fucking Oscar. I'm ridiculous.
You know what I love? The Safdies. Well, not just the Safdies, but like Hollywood people from like the Long Island area giving love to Adventureland.
Yeah.
It's such a rinky-dink amusement park in fucking regular-ass Long Island that's been in like multiple movies.
It's part of our personality. Yeah. It's part of our identity. It's got an aesthetic to it. The rundown, creepy amusement park.
That was a fucking in good time.
Yeah, no, that was tense. That whole movie is very tense, but it was cool when they went to Adventureland. You want to take one more fan question here and then wrap it up?
I'd love to.
All right, relax. This question here from Brienne at Brienne_yo. What up, Brienne? Why is Who Framed Roger Rabbit so much better than Space Jam? Agreed. I love Space Jam. Holds a lot of nostalgia. Holds a special place in my heart. Who Framed Roger Rabbit may be Robert Zemeckis' best movie. That movie is incredible. It holds up so well. The animation is still stunning to this day. And it's revolutionary. It's the first, I'm pretty sure, it's the first motion picture to feature... Well, no. Well, obviously, there were others. But it was one of the bigger ones to come out in that time.
Yeah.
I
haven't seen that movie in so long.
Really? Yeah. I've seen that movie so many goddamn times.
I've seen it when I was a kid a lot, but I haven't seen it.
That fucking baby.
I have Jessica Rabbit. That's the only thing I can think of right now. Which,
she's a baddie.
I mean, that alone.
I love the line.
Although Lola Bunny, too. I don't know who I'm taking.
Yeah, it's a toss-up. You can't go wrong, right? You can have a good night either way. I love when Bob Hoskins is like, it's like, you're expecting me not to feel this way when you're drawn like that. The way that the world just exists together, it makes no sense, but it's perfect.
Space Jam is just one of those movies, I think we've talked about it in the past, where...
Who Framed Roger Rabbit is also very scary. I bet you remember when the villain burned the little shoe.
Yeah.
The little squeaking shoe.
Well,
little cute shoe.
That's, I think, objectively just a good movie.
Yes. Yeah,
where Space Jam, it's like, it's more cult, I want to say cult classic because it's so popular, but it's like...
It's popular for reasons other than it being a good movie. It's the Looney Tunes, it's Jordan, they're playing basketball. A lot of people saw it when it's good enough.
Yeah.
Space Jam is a good
kids movie.
It does
what it has to do.
Yeah. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is, like I said, it may be, and Zemeckis is a legend. That's my favorite movie of his, without a doubt.
I cannot wait to see the ridiculous review bombs for Space Jam 2. Because you know people
I wonder
are
if that's gonna happen.
Just for LeBron. Not Jordan.
I think he's...
I hope they do like have some self-awareness and have LeBron pass to Daffy for the corner three game winner.
That would be funny. I hope Jordan is... I would like to see him in it. I think that would be fun. If Jordan does the Bill Murray role.
I don't know.
He would never do that, though. Because he'd want to come in and be the star. Be like, oh, LeBron got hurt, and then I come in. How about that? We rewrite the script. He gets cramps. Remember when you got cramps, LeBron? Like a little bitch?
Yeah, so they asked me to be in Space Jam 2 as a supporting character. So you could say I took that personally.
Wins the Oscar. He takes acting lessons.
He's in the new Safdie Brothers movie.
Right? Just read... Uncut Gems, same movie, but he's just Garnett. All right, guys, that's a Nerd Soup podcast for today. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're sharing it with your friends. I hope you're not unsubscribing after listening because we always get so off track. But hey, that's us, right? That's Nerd Soup. You know what you get by not knowing what to expect. Woo! Bars. Aaron, any last words? Plugs?
Nah. You know, just do you. Whoever's listening.
Oh, God, what if this person is going to go commit a crime?
Do you.